With the announcement of the angel proclaiming peace on earth and goodwill to men, and that the Prince of Peace was actually being born after the birth of Jesus Christ, nothing actually seemed that peaceful. There are the shepherds coming to see him, and they're going throughout the town telling people of what they saw. There was Herod, who was upset and ordered the execution of all the children, the boys born 2 years and younger. Mary and Joseph and Jesus having to become basically what we would call refugees and flee from Israel to Egypt to escape Herod. Then when Jesus came back, we have pandemonium constantly around him. People coming to see him, wanting to be healed. You have people who are demon possessed, full of diseases. People who are outcast with leprosy. Then you have the religious leaders who came and were constantly picking a fight with him, trying to trip him up, trying to trap him. Then you have his mock trial that convicting him of things that just out of jealousy from the religious leaders. And even throughout church history, you see just a kind of a pandemonium of persecution and of events that are that are sometimes difficult to explain, but yet we talk about being followers of the Prince of Peace. And the thing is, when you look at Christ and all of the pandemonium that going around him, he was at peace. He was at peace with God. He was at peace with his Father. And with all the pandemonium that tends to go around us, we too ought to be demonstrating that kind of peace into our situation. We should be people that demonstrate what it means to be at peace with God and with our surroundings, even though our surroundings could be very chaotic. Well, how do we do this? Well, it's actually living out everything about the Advent, the themes of Advent. And the themes of Advent should actually be characteristic of our lives. We talked about at the very beginning a hope, having a hope. And that's a choice, that we can have hope in what Christ provides. Or we can just give into the despair of what's around us. It's love. It's actually choosing to accept God's love of Jesus Christ into our lives, confessing Christ as our Lord and Savior, recognizing we need to be saved, that we need to be delivered from our sin, and receiving that love, but not just receiving it, but allowing that love to flow out from us to those around us. Joy. Another opportunity we have. It's not based on our circumstances, which is usually our circumstances take on the idea of happiness when things are going well. But joy is just knowing that what's going around us is just temporary. And it is anchored in that hope and that love. And today we see how peace is really built on those three aspects of Advent. It, when we're able to have that hope and that love and that joy, it's able for us to really demonstrate peace around us. And so this morning, I just want to briefly walk us through a passage of Scripture found in Romans chapter 12. Seems like an odd place to go for a Christmas message. But in Romans 12, we see all these characteristics, these themes of Advent at work within the believer, of hope, love, joy, and peace. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. And we're going to look at the best way to show the peace of Christ, not only during Christmas time, but any time. And the first thing that we see in this passage is Paul's writing to a group of believers, and he said this: let love be genuine. It's got to be real. It can't be fake. It's got to come from our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And when it is real, when it is based, then the things that follow start to fall into place. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. in our times and in which we live, evil seems to be prevalent. And it's oftentimes that we get caught up in all of that and we kind of get swept away with the evil of our times and we allow it to start tainting us. But what we need to do as Christ followers is look for what is good and hold on to what is good. In the biography about Fred Rogers, one of the things that when a disaster would happen or people were evil and had caused mayhem, he would become a little frightened as a child, and his grandmother told him, you know, when the bad things happen, when evil is around, look for the helpers. There are always helpers. Look for the good. Because that is where you see, that's where you see the work of God in our lives, is when people are responding, that image of God that's still within us that might be marred greatly, it responds in that way. So we need to hold on to what is good. We need to be examples of that. We need to be examples of what is good in our society. Love one another with brotherly affection. So there's this genuine love that should spill over to one another, and it should spill over to our families and our faith family, but also into our sphere of influence. And it is to be, we're to show that affection, that care for one another. And one way that we do that is it's just outdo one another in showing honor. It's almost like a contest, isn't it? Outdo one another. And that show one another honor means that, you know, think through what it means to honor somebody. Think through what honors you. Think through what might help somebody else to recognize that you respect them and appreciate them. You know, one of the things that I try to do is I pass along what I call secondhand compliments. And that means it's something that I heard about somebody else. And I tell that person what I heard. For instance, I was able to visit with a doctor. Some people that I know go to the same doctor. And I just look at him and I told him this. I said, "Now, I know you can't talk about your other patients, but I just want you to know, I have friends who see you, and they're so, you know," and I tell them their name, and I said, "They really appreciate how gentle you are with them, and how kind you are, and how thorough you are, and that you take time. You know, I appreciate that about you too, but it's kind of nice when my friends say that about you, since I referred you." And, you know, he really responded very positively about that. You know, that is called gossiping, but that's the good kind of gossiping. And we should do more of that, because it is always nice to hear somebody about somebody else saying something good about you. So there's ways of honoring, or just yourself telling somebody what you respect about them. Maybe take time this year to go out with friends and sit around the table and say, "You know, I'd just like to take a moment and just go around the table and just say what I appreciate about each one of you." You take opportunity to show them honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. We shouldn't be reluctant in our service. We shouldn't be reluctant in showing love. We shouldn't be reluctant in making sure that we show honor to one another. We need to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Verse 12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So we have that joy and that hope kind of mingled together here. So we started with the love, now we're at hope and joy. And we can joy because we have this basis of it that is founded in hope. That we know that things are temporary, no matter how bad things are, that we recognize through faith that these are only temporary things and that we can see through them. And so even when there's tribulation and sorrow and problems that might arise, that we are to be patient. We are to demonstrate that peace. And we should spend time in prayer asking God just to kind of bring us into alignment with His will and help us to see our circumstances the way that He sees them. Contribute to the needs of saints and seek to show hospitality. So one of the great things that we can deal with that help us be patient in tribulation is when we start focusing on the needs of other people. Because it's almost like a tonic when we start to help others who are in need, who are in genuine need, and we see how that affects their lives. It's good for the soul. Now, I was brought up in a non-Christian home. My parents fought a lot. There was constant arguing. I'm talking about arguing. I'm talking about plates broken, lamps broken, and that was weekly. And it wasn't always easy for my brother and sister, because it was kind of an abusive home at times. But one of my favorite Christmases, which happened, and it's a tragic story, but it's amazing what happens when you contribute to the needs of others. Just down the street from us, a lady and her three children, 2 weeks before Christmas, were thrown out of the house by her drunken husband. And they had been abused constantly by him. My parents actually took them into our home a couple weeks before Christmas time. And in that time that they lived with us for probably about a month, there was no more fighting, no more arguing. And it was one of the happiest Christmases I can remember, because they were so focused on helping this family and bringing them into our home. Now, we didn't have a lot of money, but it was just, I remembered a few little toys that I got at that time, like the robot from Lost in Space, that was one of them. But the best thing that I remember was just how peaceful it was, and how my parents were just, they were radiant as they were helping this other family. And sometimes we need to get back to that, especially as Christ followers. We need to show a concern for those around us. We need to help those who are in need. We need to show hospitality, whether it's opening our homes or just opening our lives to other people, to minister to them. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. That means to do kind things to them. And if there's something you can speak well of them, speak well of them, not to curse them. The world does that. Goodness. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who are weeping. You know what that means? It means we need to pay attention to what's happening in people's lives. To know that they're rejoicing. To know that they're in despair. Placing their needs ahead of ours and coming alongside of them. Living in harmony with one another. That means living at peace with one another. And how do we do that? Well, the first, not to be haughty, not to be prideful. Not to be arrogant and think highly of ourselves, more highly than ourselves than we ought, but we should be able to associate with the lowly. To be able to be with those who are, you know, who are in need or who have been marginalized in our society. Never allowing ourselves to be wise in our own sight, being puffed up with knowledge. Repay no one evil for evil. World does that. We don't need to add more to that, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. There we go, coming back to this idea of thinking through what we do. Thinking through how we are going to respond to people, not react to people. And how even in the midst of things, and even when people are doing something, maybe in sharing something that's inappropriate or something that's against us, it's not true, or maybe it is true, we're going to live honorably. And we're not going to react. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And Christmas time is a great opportunity to do that, but I have to say we've been kind of hijacked. Christians have been hijacked not to live peaceably during Christmas time, because we've been told there's a war on Christmas, and we act like we're in battle. And we sometimes, almost like Clint Eastwood, go up the clerk and go, okay, make my day. Say happy holidays. I dare you. Just say it. Because I'm going to hit you with Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. If you're offended by Happy Holidays, then you really need to start praying about what really is important in life. Somebody saying happy holidays to me is not an offense, because it has no bearing on who I am and my relationship to Christ. Sometimes I'll ask somebody, do you celebrate Christmas? Oh, yeah, I celebrate Christmas. Well, then Merry Christmas. I've had a couple say, well, no, actually, I celebrate Hanukkah. Well, guess what I tell them? No, Merry Christmas anyway. No. I tell them Happy Hanukkah. If you really want to know war on Christmases, it's Herod killing babies. It's Christians being hauled off to jail. It's Christians being ugly when they say Merry Christmas. That's the war on Christmas. But when we are thoughtful and we put the needs of other people ahead of our own, and in the midst of the crazy turmoil that goes around in our society, that we demonstrate ourselves as people of peace, then that makes a difference. And to, and it says here, if we can just live peaceably with all, and sometimes that means that we just have to get our own ego out of the way. We got to clear things out in our own thinking and in our own mind in order for us to live at peace with others. And sometimes it means to have a little conflict, to have a correction. Sometimes it's talking about an issue that's dwelling within you or between you and somebody else to resolve the peace. You know, I've mentioned before, there's peacekeeping where you just kind of hope nobody brings up anything. You know, when you have the extended family and you're over for the holidays and everybody's standing there, you're just thinking, please don't mention, nobody bring up impeachment. Nobody bring up impeachment. Because it's just going to be a disaster. Because there's people on all ends of that that's going to argue. Well, that's peacekeeping. But sometimes peacemaking is actually confronting something that is causing strife within our families or our sphere of influence. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Why do we need to kind of give back? Somebody says something about me, I'm going to say something about them. Somebody posts something about me, I'm going to post something about them. Ugh, believe me, all it does is make everybody look petty. But instead of that, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. So it's actually meeting their needs. Find out their needs. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something. If they need a friend, be a friend. It's, again, there's that thoughtful process. And if we're going to be people of peace, we have to have a thoughtful process of how we are responding to the difficult situations that we find ourselves in. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. You know, that's God's judgment. God deals with that. Let God do his part and we do our part. Works out so much better. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And it's just living out that idea of being loving, of being hopeful by being joyful, by being peaceful, by actually thinking through how we are going to live our Christian faith in a world that is going crazy. And we're not going to be overcome by it. We're not going to buy into it, but we're going to speak into it words of comfort, words of peace. Just like those angels did. And we always kind of get this peaceful idea that, you know, the shepherds are out there, it's all quiet, and, you know, it's a beautiful, calm night. They were under the oppression of the Roman Empire. They were also under the oppression of a legalistic religious establishment that sought to really beat people down with their interpretation of the word. They were lived in a caste system and such that shepherds, you would be considered an outcast. Just a little above a leper. those angels, when they spoke into those shepherds, anything but peaceful was going on in their lives. But they spoke words of peace. And when we speak words of peace, it best shows up when we're people of peace. So, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Not some, but all. So this is the Word of God's telling us that we have a great responsibility to be people of peace. And that we have an opportunity to actually to be those peace agents for Christ to those around us. And that it is possible for us to bring peace into our sphere of influence, into our families, into our communities, our workplaces, maybe even into our country. But it needs to be thoughtful, needs to be loving, needs to be based in hope, it needs to be joyful. And it has to be with the idea of introducing people to the Prince of Peace. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up as they make their way up. I just want you to think through for a moment. Who are those people within your sphere of influence that when their names come to mind, anything but peacefulness seems to exist between the two of you? And what is it that you can do to kind of start clearing the roads to the best of your ability to establish peaceful communication, peaceful relationships with that person? Maybe there's stuff that's already in your life that's blocking you from really experiencing the fullness of the peace with God. Maybe there's something that maybe you need to confess your sin and trust Christ for the first time, accepting Him as your Lord and your Savior. Maybe you've done that, but you've allowed your faith to grow cold and distant. Maybe it's just that you've got to step back and really start thinking through the lives of the people in your life and how you're going to put their needs ahead of yours. Whatever it is that's hindering you from being an agent of peace, living peaceably with those around you, just think about that and confess that to Christ. And take a moment to think through, what can you do this week, this holiday time, this Christmas season, to start on the road to peace with that individual?